Welcome to the Sons of Technology Clubhouse. Ditch your fear at the door, take a risk, and enjoy the ride with your hosts, Joe Marquez and Kyle Anderson.
Welcome, everybody, to another fantastic episode of the podcast by the Sons of Technology. And today we are going to be talking about 1 year in COVID. And Kyle's going to talk about 1 year and a day, and he'll tell you why. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the hybrid decision, the decision of many schools going hybrid and which hybrid model they have chosen and how to get through it. And then finally, we're going to drop a little bit of pre-Q. Spring Q will be here March 18th through the 27th. We're going to talk a little bit about some of our favorite sessions that we're looking to attend, and then also the Q after hours events. So we absolutely have a great show ready for you today. But before we get to it, let's go ahead and introduce ourselves. My name is Joe Marquez. I am the Director of Academic Innovation for Q. I'm an educator out of the Central Valley of California. And as always, my partner in innovation, Kyle Anderson. Kyle, please introduce yourself.
Hey, everybody. Once again, Kyle Anderson from Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm a special education teacher. You can find me on Twitter at AndersonEdTech. Same thing with Instagram. My blog, AndersonEdTech.net, and then my book, To the Edge, Successes and Failures Through Risk-Taking. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, through my publisher, EduMatch Publishing. And then also joining us, becoming kind of a regular with us on here, is Tyler Keefe. Tyler, how's it going?
It's going good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good as always.
Good. Say, I am Tyler Keefe. I am a technology integration coach up here in Nampa, Idaho. So we're just kind of going up the West Coast here. And I am on Twitter at Keefe67. And then recently actually started a podcast of my own called The Teacher Dudes.
Very nice. And Joe, you're back. We did lose Joe for a split second there. So, and we won't even edit this out because guess what? That's just the way life is sometimes. So now, Joe, I will say though that, you know, talking about what we're going to talk about today is very timely because we are publishing this on March 13th, which is the day that most people, that was their last day of school when COVID hit and everything started to shut down. But I will say before we get into any deeper that mine was actually March 12th. So I've got 1 year and 1 day as this is publishing because my school, we actually had a 4 day weekend scheduled for that weekend. So March 12th was Thursday. So that was my Friday for that week. And then Friday, the 13th was off. And you had your 2 weekend days. And then Monday was an off day as well. Just a nice little 4 day weekend. And I had planned that weekend out. I was going to be taking my kids to go see my parents and then actually leaving them there because they were going to be on spring break and I was not. So I was in a different district than they were. So different spring break. So they were going to be staying with my parents for a week or so. And then I would be coming back to go to work after that 4 day weekend. And over that weekend on Sunday night is when I got the email saying that we were not going to be going back to work, but instead on Tuesday morning, there was going to be a staff meeting for everybody. So I still ended up having to go home, leaving my kids behind at my parents' place. And then when I got home on Monday, then I got the email that said like, you don't actually have to come into work. You can do the meeting on Zoom or Google Meet, whatever it was that we were doing from home. And at first I was like, well, that's kind of irritating. I just drove 200 miles home now because we were supposed to have this meeting when I could have done it on a computer from my parents' place. And yeah. And then from there, we had that meeting that day and said, we'll know more later in the week. But for right now, start planning out what you think you're going to be able to do online. And so we didn't have kids the rest of that week. And then we started having kids online that following week. So which I'm sure is a very similar story for other people.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy because, you know, a week prior, I was in New York City. So March 1st through March 6th. I was in New York City with my fellow CDWG education strategists, and we were doing some amazing work down there. And, you know, the first 3-4 days, pretty amazing. And then there was this rumbling happening, and people were talking about, maybe not being able to get on flights, and maybe the airports were going to be shutting down. I'm like, what the heck is going on? And my wife was getting worried that I wouldn't get a flight home. And so everybody, there was a strange, you know, sense of aura around New York City, because it's really hustle and bustle and everybody's out there and everybody's moving around and everybody's bumping into one another. And then to hear that there is possibly something out there that you can catch right there in the street, that was a little bit, I had a lot of anxiety. Luckily, I was able to catch a flight home and made it home. And then we started hearing the rumblings happening. So Spring Q 2020 was getting canceled in the face-to-face and getting moved into a virtual platform. And I traveled up to Sacramento the following week to work with a school up there in Rockland Unified. And we heard that one of the first districts started shutting down. And people were like, why are they shutting down a district? What's going on? What's happening? And I'm like, what is going on? And then by the end of that week, on the 13th, everybody started shutting down. And that's when all seriousness started to happen. It was very surreal to see this happening, especially being on a part of a company like CDWG, whose whole field is selling technology to schools. I'm getting just constant calls and wanting to have meetings to figure how to go forward from this point on. And I remember a lot of schools were shifting their spring break. Instead of taking it at the end of March, they decided to take it right then and there and extend it 2 weeks in hopes that they would be back by the end of March or the beginning of April. And we all know that that didn't happen, right? And so that was, you know, 1 year ago from that Friday the 13th, Friday, March 13th. And to still see it, you know, kind of still being prolonged, even though we do see there's light at the end of the tunnel with the different vaccines coming out. I hear teachers are finally getting moved up on the vaccine schedule, which is amazing. Please keep doing that. States and counties, getting your teachers vaccinated, giving them the opportunity to get vaccinated. But it was so surreal when it was happening in real time. And I tell you, I never thought it would last this long. I absolutely did not think it would last this long. And even though there's light at the end of the tunnel, things that happen 6 months from now still have question marks on them, right? And even though here in California, you know, we get to see some of the venues starting to open up, some of the sports venues on April 1st, some of the Disneyland and theme park venues opening up April 1st, it's still at limited capacity. So, you know, when things will get back to more normal and that travel kind of realm is still up in the air. And that's amazing to me, even a year later, that there's still a question about the next 6 months, right? So what about you guys? What do you think about all that?
Well, before we kind of dive into that, you talk about how Spring Q last year shifted so quickly and how it was an in-person conference, and then a few days before everything started to shut down, they pivoted into a, and there's that word that everybody used and probably got really sick of, but it shifted into the virtual conference. And really, I mean, just for how quickly it happened, I mean, it was pretty amazing how well that conference ended up going off, considering how little time there was to prepare. But what reminds me about that is that in most years, I've always done like a Spring Q preview blog post and publish that in the days leading up to the event. And then I'll do like a post-conference one as well. And I still remember I published that blog post and it was titled, "It's Time for Spring Q." And I published it. And then like 10 minutes later, our good friend Tom Covington, he responded with a tweet, said, "No, it's not." And I just replied back. I'm like, well, I'm just kind of holding out hope. You know, because there was still it was when there was events that were starting to be canceled. But as of the moment that I published that, it was still on. Well, then he responded back to my hopeful one and said, "No, it just came out. Check your email." And I checked my email, and that's when it said that it was not going to be happening. So I pulled the blog post down, but then I actually ended up going back and publishing it with like a little disclaimer saying like, "Hey, I wrote this and published it, and then pulled it down because it ended up getting canceled." But I felt, you know what, I'm just going to put it out there anyway. So, and I did. So, but now Tyler, I'd like to hear what your thoughts are, though, on how everything has kind of developed over the last year and then now how it's starting to shift back into what it is becoming. But then there's still all the doubts, the fears, and the question marks still happening out there. So what do you think about what's going on?
Well, it's been a crazy year. You know, we mentioned March 13th. I call that the real Black Friday now. And I just remember being up here in Idaho. We had maybe one, two cases here and there, nothing in my city where I'm at, nothing in the county. And we're just kind of sitting around like, okay, what's going on here? And I remember seeing, you know, this state saying they're going to shut down, and then this state, and Idaho was one of the last two or three, I believe, to even have a case. We were one of the last holdouts, which was really interesting considering up in Washington State where my family's at was where, you know, the quote unquote ground zero was at that time before it shifted. But it's just been, it's been surreal, you know, really, because we were told, you know, hey, you're going to go home. We're going to, you know, just kind of wait this out. We had spring break coming up too. So it was okay, you know, we'll be back. But just walking my kids out to that bus line on that last day, not knowing when they're going to come back. And we sent home their iPads with them just, you know, to kind of keep things going as much as we could, but we had no clue that it was going to turn into the rest of the year. And then, you know, through the summer and everything, we're like, okay, we're hopeful that we're going to get to go back. And then, you know, just one thing after another just keeps getting pushed off and pushed off and pushed off. And at my school, you know, I've said this many times with many different people, we're one of the lowest income schools in the whole state. And the amount of connection and the relationship building that our teachers did was something that I can't even put words to, because it was just fantastic how we rallied behind each other. I know for myself, my wife, we secured a grant to get food and household items for families that we could just, when they're doing the summer lunch, not summer lunches at that time, but just the lunches, just have a table out of, hey, do you need soap? Do you need toothbrushes? And, you know, we don't know who got them, who got what, but every day it's like we had to go back to Walmart to get more. And because they were going to those families that needed it. And then now, you know, we're at a position where in the fall, we were able to go back hybrid for a little bit. And then we had to shut back down just because cases were going up. But now we're back to 4 days a week, full in school for elementary, and high school starts full with all kids starting on March 29th. So it's different up here because, you know, we don't have the population base, but it's also a very surreal feeling that it's not so bad up here, but then you just see and hear the stories everywhere else. And it makes me really stop and think of, you know, the things that I kind of complain about. I'm like, I'm going to shut up for a little bit. And, you know, I'm excited as things are opening back up, but we're also being very cautious at the same time to not go backwards, I guess, in a way.
Yeah. You know, no teacher ever said, I want to become a teacher to teach from my home. Right. I mean, teachers, teach because they have a passion for connecting with students, with the youth of the, you know, the future leaders of our country and counties and our cities. And that is where a lot of teachers get their buckets filled, right? Teachers, you know, no matter how many times, you know, you hear teachers kind of, you know, lament like, all I get to see is kids all day, or I don't get to talk to an adult for 8 hours. You know, we have those jokes all the time. But when we really look back, I think we have more enjoyment with our students than we do with some adults, right? And when you don't get to have that time with the people you enjoy the most, it can really create a kind of this solemn feeling that you're not doing the most that you can do. And I want teachers to know you are doing the most that you can do. You are making a difference. You are still connecting in a different way, but you're still connecting, and you're making this situation that everybody's in bearable, because you keep the learning happening, you keep the engagement going. And no matter how downtrodden we are, that we have to use technology to teach students at the moment, I just always remind everybody, imagine if this happened 10 years ago. Really. I'm in all seriousness, right? Yes, we want to be face-to-face in the classroom with our students. I get it. But imagine if this happened 10 years ago and we never even got to hear our students' voices, never got to see our students' faces. All we had to do was print out packets and make sure they got shipped to the homes and they got shipped back. It would just be, rotating of papers. And I think that would be even much worse than where we are right now. So as sullen as we are that we don't get to see our students every day face-to-face at the moment, at least we get to see their digital faces or hear their digital voices at this point. It's not the best, but oh man, I just cannot imagine what this situation would be like if it happened in 2010 when devices were still not, I mean, Chromebooks didn't even come out till 2011, right? And so you didn't have a lot of one-to-one programs. You didn't have a lot of devices that could be sent home. You had more computer labs than computers in carts in the rooms. And so, I mean, I just think that if it did happen, it happened during this juncture than in previous years where we would not have the technology to back up the learning, to back up the connecting, to back up the collaboration that we were able to have with educators all across this great nation to find out ways to keep the learning happening. So I just praise teachers all across this nation that they were willing to help and collaborate and work together to find ways to make this a more bearable situation than if it happened in a much earlier time in the 2010s.
Oh, absolutely. I think about the school that I was working at in 2010, and I was at a school called East Career and Technical Academy. So we had more technology than the typical school in the district because that's what the school was designed for. But I think about there maybe for the entire school was 4 laptop carts of like say 24 devices. There were some very nice computer labs and computer classrooms in the school. But again, those aren't going home at that point. There was an iPad cart, I think 36 iPads or something like that. So it would have been an absolute nightmare, Mayor. You're absolutely correct, Joe, that having it happen now compared to 10 years ago definitely improved the odds of being able to provide for a distance education that is a little more effective at least. So, but kind of shifting a little bit, we are now at this point, Tyler, you mentioned that your schools are going back full 100% face-to-face, but a lot of schools are either still full distance or shifting into a hybrid model at this point. So my school, as we're talking about this right now, K-3 is back in a hybrid model for those students that chose to go back. I kept my kids at home because I was still working from home. But after this weekend, when this posts, I'm actually returning to school. I'm going back. So this coming week coming up, all the teachers in my district for most grade levels are going back to in-person. And then the students will follow the following week into a hybrid model. So, and it's going to be one of those that we talked about in our episode on hybrid education, where we're going to be teaching students in person and online at the same time. And we had a whole variety of things that we called that, the hybrid, the high flex model. So the concurrent hybrid, we had all these different, this terminology for it and whatever. And there's a lot of happiness in the media and online in my area where people are happy kids are going back. But I believe there's a lot more anger about it because of the model that it's going back to. And then on top of that, like for me, I'm going to see the students that do show up once every 2 weeks. I don't want to get into details about any sort of class schedule or anything, but a lot of people are questioning, why are we even going back if this is the model that we're going to have? We could stay in distance. And a lot of students are choosing to stay distance because of what the hybrid model is going to be, because it's only going to essentially be half days where kids would go to 2 classes in the morning and then have to go home and do 2 more classes online that day. So there's a lot of questions as to why we're even going back at this point. So, and I'm not sure what's going on in other districts with the models that they're having, but I can imagine there's probably a few similarities to what those districts are doing versus what my district is doing. So I don't know if the two of you have heard anything else about different models that are going on as we're starting to return.
Well, you know, I'm in a unique position with Q where I get to see PD happening. And then in those PD requests, a lot of the requests are, can you please focus on the concurrent hybrid model? Can you please make sure that in the trainings, the teachers are being shown how to engage the students face-to-face while simultaneously engaging the students who are learning from home? And there was a post on Facebook that I saw yesterday, and it was an educator that said he heard this during a staff meeting. And he said he heard, now that teachers are going hybrid, they only need half the prep time. Now that teachers are going hybrid, they don't need as much prep time as before because, hey, you're used to the kids being face-to-face, so half of them are there. You don't need as much prep time. And to me, that is a non-statement, right? That is absolutely not. Number one, don't mess with the teacher's prep time. That's where the magic happens. And in fact, if you can give teachers more prep time, I'm all for that as well. When you have a teacher who has all the time in the world that they need to prep engaging lessons for students, that's when you have students become engaged in the classroom. So don't mess with the teacher's prep time. But here, you're actually asking a teacher to actually do twice the work. Even though it's happening at the same time, you're having to engage students in two different modalities. You're having to talk to students face-to-face while at the same time being mindful that you're talking to students that are learning from home. And so there's a couple different things you have to keep in mind when you're doing this kind of model. Number one, you can't just say, raise your hand if you get that, because now you're not really including the students who are at home. If they use the little raise hand button in the Zoom, now that means the teachers need to be having a monitor where they can see every student who's at home clicking that raise hand button. If they do that, right? And you also have to make sure that if you're asking a question, hey, what do you guys think about this? You're doing it in a way where the students at home can answer that question as well, just as the students who are face-to-face are answering it. You also have to figure out a way to prevent the idea that these are my face-to-face students and these are my online students. You have to make sure that you're just saying these are my students. So when you're creating groups, you can't create groups of just students who are in your classroom. You get groups, and just students who are at home, you get to be in groups. You have to include students who are in those seats in your classroom belonging to groups with students who are at home. So you have to be able to be inclusive through the entirety of a concurrent hybrid. You cannot create a line where you're doing some for the people at home or some for those. It has to be seamless. And that takes a lot of work. That takes a lot of effort. That takes a lot of planning. So it takes more time to create an experience like that than if you're just teaching to face-to-face or you're just teaching to students at home, right? And so I've been saying this for years now. If you're not using a tool like Nearpod or Pear Deck, you are missing out on instant analytics into the mindset of your students. And those programs, you would have students in class log in to the Nearpod or the Pear Deck, and the same students at home, that same exact login they can use. Now you can ask a question in that platform and get everybody's responses no matter where they are. So you need to be using a tool that can capture answers no matter where your seat is. And one last thing, right? We don't want teachers to be tethered to their desk, right? So we don't want them sitting at their desk teaching the students who are face-to-face just so the students who are at home can see them. So you're going to need some kind of video capture where it follows and tracks you, or set up a camera where you're going to kind of stay within these certain parameters so the students at home can see you. You're going to need to have a wireless device as well, so that not only can you advance slides, but you can also see questions coming in through the virtual class that you're using in Google Meet, Microsoft Teams, or Zoom. You need to be able to be mindful of all this, because you need to be able to answer any questions of every student. And so again, if that sounds like a lot of work, it absolutely is. So it doesn't sound like less prep time to me. It sounds like more prep time and more support needed when you choose this model, right? What about you guys? What do you think? I mean, because that's the instant I hear this, I instantly say, like, how are the teachers being trained to do this? And are they being mindful of all the students not just I'm going to spend a little bit of time with my face-to-face, and then I'm going to pivot over to my online while the students are working independently, and then I'm going to come back. I mean, I don't like that, because they're all your students. They're all your students, right? It's not my face-to-face time with my students. It has to happen seamlessly, and that takes a lot of work.
Well, having to deal with this, you know, quite a bit here recently, I can tell you that it's all fine and dandy that you can have, you know, your laptop open and you're teaching to both at the same time. However, we don't live in fairy tale land. You know, we live in the real world. And I can tell you, when I was watching classrooms, when they were trying to do this, it kind of worked. There were some teachers that did some really cool stuff that was creative with it, but I don't know that it really got the, that it really had the effectiveness as it could have if they would have had the things that you mentioned. You know, if they would have had a device like a swivel where it's going to follow the teacher around the room, then I think we would have seen something a little bit different from that regard. I did see teachers using their laptop and then an iPad to be able to present from the laptop and then communicate on the iPad. So that did work, and that did work out really well. And we're a Teams district, so we were able to do it a little bit better than I've heard some have been able to do with Google Meet. But when it comes down to it, there's another piece of the technology that you didn't hit on, and that's your projector in the room, your TV that's in the room. Is that going to be mirroring the students at home? Or is that going to mirror the presentation that you're trying to show? And are you trying to show that presentation to both the in-person and at home at the same time? But then you also want to see the students at home. So how are we going to leverage that? And there was one teacher, and we were only able to do this with one classroom, but they actually had two different TVs in their rooms. Mm-hmm. One was for that presentation. The other was for the students at home. And that's where we saw the real good connection, because those students at home knew that they could be seen while still viewing the other things. But then it comes down to that old, you know, thing about classroom management, because then you have all those students at home that they know that the students in the classroom can see them. So they're going to start making faces, do funny things and all of that. So then it kind of got, you know, became a mixed bag of how it actually worked. But the teachers, like you're saying, going back to the original point about the prep time, the teachers need time. They need time to prepare, especially after seeing it. They absolutely need that time to prepare, but also not just prepare, but they also need some time to rest, because it's tough doing two things at once like that. And I know those teachers were burned out like they have never been burnt out before. And now that we have our kids back, it was almost a sigh of relief that they don't have to do the two different things at once. So it's been interesting, and it's going to be fun to watch to see how things are going to continue to evolve and how they're going to get better. But at first, I can tell you it was rocky. So, you know, if it's happening to you, just bear with it, stick with it. It's going to get better and it's going to be okay, because the connection with the students is what's more important than the connection with your curriculum.
Now, for me, my concerns aren't as strong in regards to being able to get to both the online and the in-person kids, because I co-teach with another teacher. So there's going to be two of us in a room. So I've already had conversations with my co-teachers about what are we going to do. So first of all, we can't really move about the room anyway. We're not going to be able to interact with kids like we would in the before time. So one of us is going to most likely be in the front of the room controlling a presentation or mapping something out on. We always, my one co-teacher always plugs in an Elmo and then hooks that into Google Meet to display that. So I'm sure it's going to be a lot of the same thing in person, where they can see that on the screen in front of us, but then we're also projecting that on Google Meet to the students that are still at home. And then while my co-teachers are doing whatever they're doing, then I can control looking at the chat answering questions from kids that are online and doing that. And then we could flip flop around if we want to as well. So my concerns aren't as strong as that. But if a teacher is in the room by themselves, it has the potential for being a nightmare for doing both those things. And Joe, and that's why I'm with you on this one, where to me, it's just, this is asinine how this is going to be. And a lot of districts are doing that. And then I mentioned that I didn't want to get too much into the scheduling for what my school district is planning to do, but it actually is very relevant to this now. Now comes the concern of, you have to teach kids that are in person and at home. Then I have to take into account now different times I'm going to have kids. So the two morning classes are going to be 90 minutes. Some of the kids in person, some at home. They go home after those two classes, and then they have two more classes in the afternoon, but only for a half an hour apiece. So now what I have to worry about is, if I have an algebra class first thing in the morning, then I have one in the afternoon, I've got a 90-minute class and I've got a 30-minute class. So what am I really going to do at that point? So, and my one co-teacher and I, we've already talked about this a little bit, how we're essentially going to plan a half-hour lesson for that 90-minute class. And then for those that are still on there for extra help, we've got time for extra help. We've got time to maybe play a few fun games in order to just kind of lighten the mood a little bit, get to know each other a little bit during that time. It's going to be a time for students that may have been missing some work or are just struggling some concepts. It's almost going to be like an extended office hours kind of session, in my opinion. So, and then becomes the problem of how much instructional time is going to be lost over the course of the last 8 weeks of the school year as a result of that schedule. So that's kind of why a lot of people in my district, families, teachers, students, are just really like kind of like throwing their hands up going, why are we going back if this is the way it's going to be? And there's just not really any answers to that out there. And a lot of people have their own opinions on things that I won't share in this format or anything, but it is frustrating to where we're 8 weeks, 8-9 weeks away from the end, and this is what we're going back to. And the question becomes again, why? Why are we going back at this point? So, but I am hopeful, because if we were able to be resilient and learn as much as we did over the past year, having to do what we had to do, we can go a few more weeks and continue to be resilient and learn and do the best that we can in preparation for August, when hopefully we can be back in person full time at that point.
Yeah, you know, it's like my favorite hybrid model, right? Of course, is the rotation model, right? You have half the students come in on one day, okay, you know, kind of like a block schedule. You'd have students come in on one day and talk about the curriculum that they were given when they were at home, and then you'd swap. And so you'd spend that face-to-face time making sure that they understood what they were working on independently, and then maybe going a little bit deeper into it to help those students out. To me, that's a little bit more manageable for a teacher, because now you're not having to manage both simultaneously. But again, if you are going into that hybrid model where you're doing that concurrent hybrid, where you're simultaneously teaching students at home and face-to-face, again, you just have to be very mindful of making sure that everybody feels that they are, you know, learning everything in the same way at the same time, and not saying, okay, I'm going to teach them the face-to-face for right now. So those of you at home, I want you to read these chapters and then we'll switch. It's if you're going to do it simultaneously, it's got to be done simultaneously. So Tyler, I love the idea that you had about two TVs. I was thinking like a confidence monitor, right? You know, you have a TV right out in front of you while you're teaching, and that TV has the students who are at home. And so you have your presentation being presented on the back one. And so if a student has a question, you can easily see it. I would always even say a wireless microphone, so you don't have to worry about sound. A wireless microphone that also is a speaker. So if a student unmutes themselves to ask a question, you can hear it. Those kinds of things. I mean, if you have AirPods, you can easily just do that right off of the computer. So find ways to utilize your technology you already have. I heard another teacher say, you know what they're going to do? They're going to join their Zoom with their phone and just use their headset, their wireless headset, and be able to talk to students at the same time. I love that idea, right? Because you already own that device, right? Hopefully you're not being charged by minutes on that. Hopefully you can set up with your school Wi-Fi. But, you know, just like we always talk about in Sons of Technology, how to hack education, start utilizing some of that technology to hack these situations. So using your phone, I love the idea that Tyler, that you were talking about with being able to, you know, speak to the students at home and getting those answers back. And then Kyle, I loved your idea about that Elmo being connected, right? If you have a doc cam, like I have one here called the Solo 8 from Hovercam, where you can flip it up and now it's a real HD camera. That's another great thing to do. Utilize these things. And I think the Elmo has like a neck you can lift up, right? So you can do that as well. So find ways to hack your room, hack your space to make it work so that all students feel that like they're learning together, not like they're learning separately in this simultaneous model.
Joe, that brings up another point though, too, is that how prepared are some schools to have teachers and students come back in regards to the technology? One-on-one devices is one thing where getting a Chromebook in every student's hand and everybody working from home, but now I have NORAD set up for my home office. Now I've got three monitors. I've got a green screen. I have all of this stuff set up and it's taken some time, but I mean, I feel like I've got a really good setup now and I feel like I'm more effective than I was say back in September, but now I'm going back in person. It's like, am I going to just be working off a single screen laptop again for the desktop computers that are in classrooms and offices on campuses? Do they have microphones and cameras? And for my school, the answer to that is no. My principal had to order cameras and microphones for the computers because the monitors don't have them built in like a standard laptop usually does. So a lot of schools, they're thinking, oh, we're ready to go back now. Numbers have been trending down. We can start safely bringing students back. But then again, are they ready to come back? Because do they have these things? And are schools and districts thinking about this stuff as this time approaches?
Yeah, you know, it's turning into a production studio, right? I mean, and I feel every lesson should be recorded anyways, right? It's always great to record a lesson and then be able to dock it like on YouTube so that, you know, any student who missed the class can review it later. I mean, to me, that's just a no-brainer. But it's really becoming every classroom should be a production studio. So do you have the technology to keep up that high level of production when you return, right? I mean, you definitely need a purple light like Tyler's in that classroom to make that work.
Well, yeah, you know, gotta get that aesthetics going here in my Husky room. But yeah, no, I think that's what you're saying there, Kyle, is key, because when we came back in September or August, September, and we were still distance at that time, but when we knew that we were going to go hybrid, we actually went out and bought a webcams that we could connect and put on top of the TVs that we have in our rooms just for that reason. And luckily, you know, those ones that we got on Amazon from who knows what company it is, but they worked, they got the job done, and now we're able to use them for other things since we're back. But that's what you're saying is true, because are you going to have your laptop, but then are you going to flip your laptop around so that the students can see each other for the camera? Like how is that bridge going to get crossed? And the microphone thing, that was a big issue, because we didn't have the money to get microphones for all, you know, 25, 30 classrooms and just our building. So those things are things that need to be thought of, but they are also things that can be done. You know, Joe, you mentioned using an AirPod in an ear. You know, those kind of things are great ideas, great little simple hacks that you can do to be able to overcome that issue. And, you know, Kyle, as you're talking about, you're at NORAD right now. I'm, you know, mission control over here too. I'm looking at, I got 3-4 screens right here in front of me. And when I went back to my school, I had my laptop and my iPad, and I'm like, I'm missing something. What's missing? And then it finally realized it's this other screen that had my students' data up in real time so that I could check it. So it was interesting because I was productive from the back end here at home, but then, you know, just figuring out how to be that productive at school is a whole different thing. But, you know, we talk about this wanting to get back to normal, that whole idea. For me, it's let's keep pushing forward with what we've done and learn from what we did in the past, but let's keep pushing forward and adapt so that we don't always think of, well, I'm missing this and missing that kind of a thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Kyle is a blessing to his school because he gets to be that co-teacher. Any room that he's in, he's the co-teacher. And there's not every school has a Kyle Anderson who is able to be that co-teacher, who's able to monitor the chat, who's able to do this. That's on a singular teacher. But teachers, you know, we're not here to kind of like be like all doom and gloom, like good luck. We want you to succeed. We want you to be prepared, though, right? We want you to know things that need to be thought of, because we really don't want students to, again, you know, call themselves face-to-face students versus at-home students. We want them just to be students. We want students who are working in collaborative groups to work with maybe two students who are face-to-face and simultaneously working with two students who are at home. What does that mean? That means the students who are face-to-face still need devices, open, ready to go. Maybe, hey, even logged in to the Zoom with their microphones muted. Maybe logged in to the Zoom with a headset in so they can hear questions from the students coming in. Just because they're face-to-face doesn't mean they don't log into the Zoom now, right? Because you want them to see all of those students. So, you know, you have to start thinking about these things as if all students are learning from home, with the benefit that some are face-to-face with you. Right. So these are things that need to be thought of to make sure that you're creating equal opportunity within the classroom for all students to hear and learn and be able to ask questions, whether you're doing it through the classroom or the class Zoom. So it's possible, teachers, and it's going to be difficult, which is why, going back to the beginning of this talk, please do not take away teacher prep time. Just because students are coming back to the classroom doesn't now mean you only need half the prep time or less prep time. You're going to need more, actually, more prep time to make this successful. So please, districts, if you're listening to this, if you're in a situation where you can make that decision, don't take away prep time from teachers. Just don't do it, especially at this juncture, going into spring and then going into summer. Give all the teachers all the support they need, including keeping the prep time they have, because it's going to be a struggle and they need to be able to have a breath, like Tyler said, some time away, some time to rest as they prepare. So please, 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 please don't take that away from your teachers.
Well, and one thing with that, one final note I want to say is, teachers, as you go back into the classroom for the hybrid situations or even full time, don't close the Chromebooks. Don't, you know, turn off the iPads. Don't be like, okay, we're going to put those away and get rid of screen time. These kids have been doing screen time and learning through their screens for so long now that that's how they've learned. They've acclimated to it. And it's a perfect time to leverage the technology with the face-to-face to be able to utilize both so that you hit all different aspects for these kids. Because if you go in, and I saw this in a classroom, and luckily the teacher realized it way early on, when they took the iPads away, those kids did not know how to function very well in terms of writing on a piece of paper and pencil. As odd as that sounds, it happened, and the teacher realized that and was able to adapt back quickly. And we can't fear it. We can't just put it back in the, you know, back on the cart. You know, we need to use it more and more, because these kids, they love it as much as they're bored of it. And trust me, they're bored of it. My stepdaughter she's doing hybrid right now. And the days where she's in school, loving life. The days she's at home, she hates it. But she understands and is able to adapt and go with it. But then also when she's in school, she knows that there's a light at the end of the tunnel kind of a situation. So don't lose faith in that. And don't, like Joe said, you know, it's not all doom and gloom, because there is some fun things going on. And I know when we had our hybrid going on, I heard students saying, I wish I could be here every day. I want to come back to school. And it'd been a long time before that I have heard kids actually say that and truly mean it, other than I just don't want to be at home. I want to go do something. The kids want to be at school. They want to learn. They want that connection. So however we can do it, we need to figure it out and do it.
And then to add to that too, that you have to be prepared for hiccups in this whole thing as well. So Tyler, you mentioned about not putting the technology away, and that should be just a direct order that you still need to do your stuff there for a multitude of reasons, but I mean for the utmost safety of everybody, because once you start exchanging papers and whatnot, that's the possibility of transmission starts to happen. And I know in my district, I've already heard that as a handful of students and teachers have gone back in hybrid, there's already been a handful of teachers that have had to go out because they have tested positive. Now, what they're doing in regards to those classes, that much I did not hear. I just heard that a handful of teachers tested positive. So having that exchange of papers and that contact, I mean, that's a safety issue at that point. So definitely stay on the devices for that. But and sticking with the devices even after this. So I've heard a lot of teachers saying things like, man, I can't wait till we're quote unquote back to normal. I don't ever have to use Canvas or Schoology or Google Classroom ever again, because I can go back to that. We've talked about that several times on here, and that is just, that's a terrible idea. So yep. If only for the fact that now that you have Canvas and kids are trained on Canvas, that I say Canvas because that's what we use in my district. Why not now? Like you're going to have those kids that, something comes up. Hey, I got to go out of town for 2 weeks. Can I get my work? Check your Canvas account. So now everything's going to be posted there. So the activities that we've been doing, that self-grade in Canvas, guess what? Keep doing those things. Don't give yourself more work. You've already put the work in for this long. Keep up with that stuff. So there's a lot of different things. There's a lot of good stuff that's come out of this. We just have to keep being vigilant about things until this, it's never going to fully pass. But until it passes enough for us all to be back 100% in person, which again, Tyler, just like you said, there is light at the end of the tunnel. So it's happening. In the state of Nevada, as of this recording, we are at like a 6.5% positivity rate in the state now, which that positivity rate was almost 25% back in December. So the numbers are trending downward. Doesn't mean we can fully open yet, but there's light at the end of the tunnel. And it is going to be better. And I fully expect that come August, September, we can be back to some sort of semblance of what we used to refer to as being normal.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm so glad you brought up the fact that, you know, you've learned how to use these tools. Don't throw them away when you're back in the classroom. Keep using them. And I'll tell you, the bane of my existence, the bane of my existence, Kyle, when I was an eighth grade science teacher, when a student would come into me with that paper and says, Mr. Marquez, I'm going on a 2-week trip to Hawaii. I need all the work for the next 2 weeks by tomorrow. I'm like, good Lord, I want to go to Hawaii. Now you're giving me extra work so that you can have a great time in Hawaii. And I'd say this, I go, I'm going to grab all this work for you. Absolutely. But let me ask you this. Are you going to do it during your vacation, or are you just going to get it done as fast as possible the night before you come back? He's like, well, you know the answer. I go, I absolutely do. I go, that's why all the work is in Google Classroom, right? Everything's in Google Classroom. You can catch up on it. You can see all the live recordings from the classroom. You can see everything right there when you come back from your trip. And so I would write on that form, everything's in Google Classroom. That's it. That saves so much time, so much headache. Right. And the kids were like, cool, I'm good to go. So please, teachers, for your sanity, keep using your LMS, because it's great for students who are going or are absent on vacation, home hospital. And it's just great for you because you don't have to do things twice. It's all right there.
A roofer doesn't invest in a nail gun to switch back to a regular claw hammer. That's the way I look at it.
Yep. No, absolutely. Absolutely. So So I love this conversation. I mean, I think it needs to be done because we are hearing a lot of schools by mid-March or beginning of April that are going back into a hybrid model. And again, the number one hybrid model I'm hearing right now is the concurrent hybrid or HyFlex model. And it takes a lot of work. So please don't take away prep time from teachers because it will take a lot of work. Now, I want to kind of, you know, I don't want to say pivot. I want to move over to the final part of our conversation, and that is Spring Q, right? Spring Q is going to be happening 5 days from today, which you're listening to this on March 13th. This is when the show drops. So if you're listening to this on March 13th, Spring Q starts March 18th at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock is our kickoff. It's our opening keynote by Jennifer Gonzalez from Cult of Pedagogy. And so it's going to be a great, great night. Okay. We have some amazing keynote speakers at 10 o'clock on Sunday, the 20th. Christopher Emden is going to be knocking it out of the park with a powerful message. And then closing us off on Saturday, the 27th, we have AJ Giuliani, who I was able to speak to prior to this. And he has just an amazing message for everybody as well. So I'm excited about the keynotes, but I'm excited even more about the after hours events, because even though we are apart, that doesn't mean we can't be closer together. And after hours events are where we get to bond and commiserate and have fun with one another. So I want to kind of talk about some of my favorite after hours events. Okay. So on Friday, March 19th at 8 p.m. Pacific, we have Stump the Rockstar. That is like a game show style Q&A where Brian Briggs and Ryan O'Donnell are going to act as the MCs, and they're going to throw situations at rockstar teachers and ask, how would you handle this? Hey, you have to do this. You only have half the devices because the other half are getting fixed. How do you handle this? And it's just on the spot, on the fly, coming up with solutions to these problems. It was fun during Fall Q. It's been amplified here for Spring Q. And then Saturday, March 20th at 8 p.m. Pacific is our karaoke night hosted by Coachella Q, Coach Q. And everybody, we would love to have you at Spring Q, but most of these after hour events are open to Q membership. Even if you aren't going to the conference, you can still participate in these after hour events. So you can still participate in Q karaoke night on Saturday, the 20th. Even if you're not attending the conference, but we would love for you to attend the conference, but you can as well. So get your sing on there. And then Sunday night, another round of silent disco hosted by Midnight Pedagogy. And then on Wednesday, March 24th, Kern Q is going to host an Among Us night. Now, I'll tell you, I've heard great things about Among Us, and you could have like 10 people play. So we're going to have breakout rooms. Everybody's going to get a chance to play. And in every room, there's going to be an Among Us expert to help guide people through it if they've never played before. So you don't have to be an expert in it. I am definitely not. I'm going to join to learn how to play. So that's going to be a fun night as well. And then as we go through, we're going to be doing Q Trivia Night. Q Trivia Night is going to happen on Friday, March 26th. And that is where I'm going to host an 80s Trivia Night. So we're going to have questions about 80s music, 80s media, 80s movies, 80s clothes. We're going to just have a great night of 80s time. There's going to be fun and prizes to go. So I'm excited about these after hours events. And I know both of you are going to be going to Spring Q. So I'd like to hear a little bit about what you're excited about as well.
Joe, I'm going to be honest. I haven't really had a chance to look at everything that's going to be there. So as of this recording, I'm still trying to figure out exactly what's going to be going on. I just know that there's different things I'm involved in that I'll be doing, like the Q Google Certified Educator Bootcamp that I'll be doing with Corey Cole again, much like we did at Fall Q. Meet the podcasters, meet the authors. We'll be representing this show on there. I'll be representing Beer EDU podcast on there as well. And then, of course, Meet the Authors will be talking about my book as well. So, and then I'm in the midst of putting together another one of the self-care videos. I'm actually stealing an idea from our good friend Eddie Campos and doing something with Flipgrid with that a little bit, and having it be more about those that want to learn more about beer tasting, whatever, and sharing their ideas in Flipgrid versus just a half hour video of me tasting beer and you'd be telling you about it. So, you know, Eddie was talking about doing an activity like that. I'm like, you know what? I'm totally doing that now. So thank you, Eddie, for that idea. Totally stealing it from you. So, so in all honesty, like I said, I have not had a chance to really go through and look at just because with everything going on, you know, we're all busy people and, you know, that kind of happens. You just happen to be in the midst of the planning of it because you're part of it. So, you obviously have a little bit more of an idea about those things. So Tyler, what about you?
You know, I'd be lying if I said that I was not looking forward to beating Joe in a video game again. So I'm going to make sure to get in on that Among Us room with you. And just so I can be the imposter and, you know, take you out. But then also, I believe it's still happening with the esports tournament in playing Rocket League. So that'll be another fun one for me. I know in Fall Q, I had a blast doing the trivia, you know, that kind of stuff. It was fun. Just being at home, you know, it's kind of odd, but we could still have the fun and do that. I'm excited to learn from a lot of different educators, many of whom I have never heard of, never seen anything that they do. So that's also fun. And it's good because I can see that, hey, even though I'm in Idaho, the same things are going on down in California. And this is how they attack that skill or how they hack this or do that. So I'm really excited for that. And, you know, just making the connections with other people in the process of doing that as well. For me, it's going to be an extremely busy time because up here in the Northwest, we have our regional conference for NCCE. That's going on the same first weekend. So I'm going to be doing a little bit of double dip in there. But the joy of our situation right now is everything's recorded so that I can access it later. So Joe, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe that's going to be the case for spring Q as well. I know in fall Q, we could access all the sessions for, I believe it was up to a month after the conference. Is that still going to happen for spring Q?
Absolutely. Everything's going to be recorded. And that's what our volunteers are going to be doing. They're going to make sure that when they go in, they hit that live stream, and that live stream is going to create the recording right there on the Cvent platform. And it will be available, I believe, either 45 days after the conference or 60 days. I can't remember which, but it will be available for quite a while, over a month after the event is over. And by the way, everybody, one of the reasons it's so hard to decide what to go to is because there's over 400 plus sessions, over 400 sessions that are being provided at this event. So if you want to take a look, right, if you want to try before you buy, right, if you want to take a look, just go to q.org/spring and you can definitely see all the different sessions, all the different presenters, all the different events that are happening. It's just going to be a fun time. I mean, you know, yes, you're going to learn a lot. Yes, you're going to be like, you know, your brain's going to explode with so many new tips and tricks that you're going to learn. But man, I'm just excited about those end of evening events because, you know, being able to start the conference off on March 15th with Rocket League, going March 15th, 16th, and 17th. By the way, Rocket League is free. Right, you go on any of your platforms, you download it, it's a free game, and you get to play. So it, you know, go to qlearns.com/esports, and you can sign up today. We're taking signups all the way until Monday, and it's going to be a fun time. I'm just excited about the camaraderie and the community, or Q community, that we have here for members of Q and beyond. And I'm just excited to see my friends and to go through life with them for this event and learn a little bit about how to tackle this next step of the pandemic, which is the hybrid step or the return to classroom step. Really excited about that again, but most excited about getting to see faces and meet new friends during this entire time.
Now, Joe, really quick, I had a question for you because I know some districts are still going to be teaching during spring Q and all that. I know we are up here, but the conference, it's going on the weekends and through the week, but are the sessions starting later in the evening for teachers, or how is that working out?
I'm so glad you asked that. Yeah. So during the week, we do not start before 3 o'clock. We didn't want teachers to feel like they had to rush out of their classroom. We didn't want teachers to feel like they're missing out because they're teaching or feel like they have to get a sub to go. So all sessions will start at 3 o'clock. on the weekdays. With March 18th being the exception, we don't start that day until 6 p.m. But on every other weekday, we start at 3. So, you know, of course, we would love to have Spring Q in beautiful Palm Springs, face-to-face. And I am going to put my flag down right now, 2022. March of 2022, we will be in Palm Springs. Tyler, you're invited too. If you can get over there. We will be in Palm Springs. We will be face to face, one way or another. I'm putting my flag down. I'm putting a line in the sand. Spring Q 2022. Hey, that's that right. Spring Q 2022 is gonna be me. It's gonna be you. We're gonna be here together. How about you? Come and join us at that. But definitely join us for virtual Spring Q 2021 starting March 18th. So. I'm just super excited, not only about the event, but I'm excited about the wrap up right here, because I want to quickly wrap and not wrap like sing or anything, but I want to wrap up what has happened in the year between March 13th, 2020, till now. So this is a celebration of us, gentlemen, celebration of us. So March 13th, 2020. I weighed 260 pounds. March 13th, 2021, 165 pounds. That's a gift, ladies and gentlemen. A gift that you gave us, you listeners. March 13th, 2020, the Sons of Technology YouTube channel had 600 followers, 600 subscribers. We are now approaching 4,000 subscribers. And that's because of all of you that have supported us along the way. That's a celebration that we cannot go without. All of the technology that teachers have learned, the thousands of educators I've been able to meet and collaborate with and do trainings for that are not only here in California, but in Washington and Oregon and New Hampshire and all across that I couldn't have done if we weren't going through Zoom or virtual platforms. So while, yes, this has been a long, arduous year, there are celebrations. So I ask you again, are you going to continue counting down the days to go back to what you deem as normal? Or are you going to make every single day count from this moment on? Because when I stared the pandemic in the face, I said, you know what? I'm going to make this pandemic work for me. And I got my life back. And Kyle, Tyler, I know you have similar stories as well. So before we leave, I want you to have a celebration of what you have accomplished since March 13th. Oh, and there's one last thing I totally forgot to say. During this pandemic, I transitioned from CDWG education strategist to Q director of academic innovation. Big differences have happened here. Positives, negatives, but we should celebrate the positives and learn from the negatives. So, Kyle, a little bit of your kind of wrap up from March 2020 to March 2021.
Well, as much as I miss my friends and colleagues that I made while in Northern Nevada, I did return to Las Vegas where I had lived for 13 years prior. Returned in the middle of a pandemic. Finding housing during that was not fun, but found something and I landed at a really great place for my school, and the things are going very well in that regard, as well as they can considering the circumstances. And then I started my own weight loss journey around the first of 2021. I had some false starts throughout 2020, but finally really started kicking things in the gear in the late part of the year. And then I'm down about 25 pounds in the last couple of months. So I do got a ways to go, but I did do a side-by-side picture from Thanksgiving to a few days ago, a while back. And just the difference in the way I look, I was wearing the same shirt, was quite staggering. So, so that's going very well. And I got a lot of other really cool things kind of on the horizon right now, looking at a home, buying a home here before long, instead of renting and whatnot. So that's looking up. And so while 2020 is definitely a struggle, 2021 so far is going fairly well, and I think it's just going to continue to be good.
Yeah, and for me, it's all about the relationships since that March 13th, the different relationships that I've been able to gain and foster, having deeper, you know, things like that have been something else. You know, getting to know you two has been awesome. I still remember mowing the lawn and tweeting at you guys, you know, as I listen to Beer EDU every Saturday, and then connecting with you two and then joining the Sons of Tech and all that stuff. It's been awesome. And now the Fit EDU community, you know, that's another one where it's just good. It's good to make those connections. For me, you know, at the time of this recording, I'm at day 66, I believe, of working out straight. And by the time this drops, it'll be, you know, in the 70s. And, you know, that journey's been awesome. And I do not know what my starting weight was. I don't know what it is right now. I'm just one of those that I'd rather not know. But I know I'm making progress when my wife says, hey, it's time for you to get new pants because they're really, really baggy. And I was like, oh, okay then. So I'm going to have to go out and do that. So that's awesome. But, you know, for professional wise, I went from the fifth grade classroom, which I had been in for 13 years, to technology integration coach. That's been a fun change, an interesting change, you know, but it's awesome. I'm loving it. I'm reaching those professional goals as well, as long with my, you know, personal goals. But, you know, I'm looking at this past year, like all the horrible things that have happened everywhere. And I don't want to forget this time. I don't want to sit there and think that this time was all, you know, rainbows and unicorns and fantastic. But I also don't want to have to live through it again. And I want to keep pushing forward and keep looking forward and not have to worry so much about everything. I just want to go out there and enjoy life more and more and more. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm at right now. And, you know, it's going to take time for everybody to get there and everybody to get through all this. But you know what? We can do it. I know we can do it.
You know, so in closing, you know, after a year, there's been positives, there's been negatives, there's been growths, there have been setbacks, but everybody has a story. Everybody out there listening has a story. Stories of heartache, stories of triumph, stories of success, stories that didn't quite hit the mark. But every single one of those stories, good, bad, have made you who you are today and who you will be tomorrow. So as Tyler said, keep looking forward. Keep looking forward to being better. Keep looking forward to ditching your fear. Keep looking forward so that you can rely on your strengths rather than being held back by what you deem as your weaknesses. Because if you're a teacher, you are so far removed from being weak that it's ridiculous to even think that you are. Because teachers are the most important people, the strongest people that have ever existed in the history of this world, especially right now. And we've said this before, and I'll say it again. You now and in the future will be hailed as heroes for keeping the learning happening, for keeping the students engaged, and for keep pushing yourself, even in times where obstacles are in your face. You have been able to push past those obstacles and succeed. So from Sons of Technology, from our entire group that we have around here, we are so proud of you. So stinking proud of you. And I know that in this next phase, we're going to be even more proud as these days go on. So from the team at Sons of Technology, I just want to say, we love you. And we're looking forward to seeing face to face very soon.